Turn, if you would, to the book of Colossians. We're going to get through some of this. Going to try to possibly, as we do this, I'm going to do my best not to make it more annoying to be here because of my voice. We're going to look at just a couple verses this evening in Colossians chapter 2, looking towards the end of the chapter. But we've been looking through this little by little, verse by verse. And as we see this, I trust you are too, a very good lesson in what Paul is trying to teach in the realms of how great is our God, how big is our God, and the supremacy of Christ, and how much he truly, truly does for us, and he exists for us. And so when we look at this, I trust us in a way that we do so with a mindset and an understanding that this same God that is understood by Paul is the same God that we understand today. He's the same God that is working in us. He's the same God that is working through us. And as we continue to see that and we continue to understand that, it's an exciting thing. It's just an amazing thing as we begin to understand and we begin to work out in our life that great God. And as we do that, as we work out that God in our life, he can do some amazing things. And I'm not sure about you and where you're at in life, but I'm amazed at what God has accomplished in my life. And I look through my life and I look at all the things that he's brought me up through and how the things that he's molded and he's changed in my life to allow me to be who I am today. And to me, that is a testimony of my God. And I know all of us have that same mindset. We all have that same ability to be able to give God the glory for that. And Paul, what he is facing in most of his churches that he started was those coming in. And we looked at some of the Gnostics. We looked at the legalism. We look at mysticism. We looked at those things that Paul was facing as he began the church, as he began to continue to teach about Christ. And you know, from the very beginning, when Paul began to speak of the ministry of Christ or the mystery of the gospel as we know it, there was always somebody coming in and adding to it. There was always somebody who wanted to put a little bit more spin on it. Somebody wanted to think that God wasn't good enough to be, say it was finished. And you know, we live in that same world today. There is always somebody, there's always a different denomination or religion or some form of godliness that wants to add to what God has already done. And one of the greatest things I realize in my life is the more I try to add to God, the more I mess it up. It would be so wise of us to be able to just let God be God, isn't it? And so when we look at these verses, looking at the verses, chapter 2, verse 20 tonight, beginning there in that section, we find another form of if I would say legalism, again, that word is, I would say, misunderstood today in how it's used. Legalism in the New Testament was that they were doing the law to be righteous. Now, we don't look at that at times to do the law to be righteous. Sometimes we put it out there for individuals that you got to be able to do these things in order so that we can see your righteousness. But today, when you talk about legalism, it's more about you need to look like on the outside how I think you need to look as a Christian. And so we sort of, in the New Testament, it was about the inside, the law making it better. And today, it's at the outside. We try to put all these regulations on, and we put all these things that it should be and what it should look like. And when we understand what Paul was dealing with, today, tonight, we're going to look at a part of that legalism and mysticism and the one that goes with that as we begin these verses. So look at chapter 2, verse 20 of Colossians. It says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to the ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not." Now these three words in verse 21 is a concept of an inward form of legalism. It's asceticism. We're going to try to get that out there. It's a word that simply means it is a self-denial. It's a self-denial. I'm going to self-deny myself to be more spiritual. I'm going to self-deny myself so I can be more righteous. And so it's a form of legalism, but it's not put on by anybody. It's what we do to ourselves. And so when we see the understanding of that and the definition of that, what Paul was facing is there were some of those individuals who were just millennialists. I mean, they were, the little is better. If I don't have things, then I'm more righteous. Or if I'm the one who, if I fast 3/4 of my life, then I can be more righteous. Or if I give more, I can be more righteous. So it's a self-denial that we put on ourselves that allow us to think we can be more righteous. And it goes to an extremes where I think some of the, back in the day where the monks would just get rid of everything they had and they would just have the simplicity of very, very little so that they could focus on God, so that they would become more righteous. Well, it's a form of that. And Paul begins to deal with that as we see in this verse 20. He says, wherefore, again, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why? And so what we need to see tonight as we begin this is that question why Paul is addressing, and Paul is saying, if you are dead with Christ, what does that mean? Well, you go to Romans chapter 6. And Romans chapter 6 says, we are dead to the sins of this world. We are dead to the sins of this world. We are buried with him. We are raised to that newness of life, to the case where the old man is no longer of an effect in our life. Now, scriptures in the King James uses the word destroy. And that word destroy is not a really good word right there. Because some people have taken the concept that our old man is destroyed, meaning that I'm no longer a sinner. Or that if because my old man is destroyed, then I can go ahead and do whatever and God's grace has got me. And so they've misunderstood some of that concept. It doesn't mean destroyed, it just means of no effect. You see, when you and I claim to be children of God, when you and I have that label as a child of God, my sinful nature, my dead man, that old man, should have no effect in my life. It should not affect how I think, should not affect the emotions of my days. It should not change me because of what I see and how I think and what I experience in life. But the problem is, as in Paul's day, that wasn't the case. And even in today, we can understand that there are many things about our old man and our sinful nature that affect us. I mean, we are raised in that philosophy of the world. We are raised that you're supposed to have the things of the world. We are raised that we think like, we are to reason like. We, you know, one of the business realms, a lot of churches have become a business because the business world we live in, you have to do it this way and you have to understand it this way, and some things we need to do because we live in this crazy broken world. But Paul is saying, when it comes to this self-denial, when it comes to this wanting to be righteous, you're already dead to this world. You're already dead with Christ. So what Paul is truly asking, and I think a question we need to ask ourselves tonight, is why is the world affecting my Christian walk so much? Why am I allowing the world to affect my life? Why am I allowing the circumstance? Why am I allowing the thought process? Why am I allowing the world to affect my life? And so, putting that into perspective, when Paul says again in verse 20, wherefore, and again, when you see the word wherefore, you want to see why it's there. Wherefore, if all the things that were said, so just for a moment, verse 19, and not holding the head from all the body by the joints and the bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. If you are part of the body of Christ, if you are labeled a child of God. Therefore, if that is true in your life, Paul says in verse 20, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments, from the effect, from the issues of this world, if we are dead to that, then why does it affect us? And I think it's a very important question. I think it's a question that we need to really understand in our life, because I truly believe the world will only know God and how great he is through the lives we live. And if we're not living those lives in a way where the rudiments of the world, or the goods, the bads, and all the world has to offer are not affecting us, they'll never know how great God is. When they see a child of God live like and respond like they do, their ultimate question is, then why do I need your God? If you're handling life like I do, if you're responding to life like I am, then why do I need your God? And so how important it is to me and to you that we really take heed. If I am truly dead to them because Christ is now living in me, then why am I letting it affecting my life? Paul goes on in verse 20, from the rudiments of the world, and it says, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to it? When he comes down again into verse 21, touch not, taste not, handle not. It was a way in which they looked at that, and basically what they were saying is, the understanding that if we are dead with Christ, the principles no longer obtain, and we shouldn't be touching, and we shouldn't be handling, and we're not powerless. Romans 6:6 is a verse that I alluded to, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Again, no effect. Of no effect. And to me, as I studied through this, it really hit me. If it's of no effect, why is it affecting? And I like to keep things a little simple. I like to put them down where I can grab a hold of them. And so for me, that made sense. If it is of no effect, why is it affecting me? So ask yourself that question in your life. The situations you come across, the things you face, and the things you do. The regulations, again, self-made religion, has an appearance of wisdom. When you see this appearance of wisdom about verse 21, you know, I am so spiritual, I touch not, taste not, I handle not. I mean, I am that good that I don't get involved in those things. And it's almost like the individual is self-denying to the point where I don't even touch it. I won't even taste it. I won't even handle it. And so you see the progression of that won't do anything to be any a part of it. And so this is like a man-made religion. It's a self-denial of a religion. And what bothers me in that is, can man make a religion? The answer is yes. Man can make a religion. Has man not made religions? The problem is, if it's man-made, then it's nothing of God. Because God's going to make his religion. God's going to make his deal. And the difference between religion and relationship is exactly what Paul is addressing. Because in a religion, you have your legalism. You have your mysticism. You have this self-denial. But when you talk about the relationship, the only thing you have in a relationship with God is identity. And I am so glad that I am identified as a child of God, because that's going to make all the difference in my life. My religion is not going to save me. My religion is not going to make me a better person. My religion is not going to allow people around me to see how big my God is. It's the Christ in me that's going to do all of that. And so Paul's addressing that. Again, Colossians, the whole book is about the supremacy of Christ. How big is he? How important is he in your life? And so when he begins to talk about this, you can see where this begins to take place, and it begins to form. Again, it's another example of legalism. And again, the circumcision, and we talked about that in Sunday school this morning, how you can see why the Jews of the New Testament had such a hard time with this circumcision. Because you go back to the Abrahamic covenant, and that was a sign That was something that God gave Abraham to do to all his descendants and to everyone involved. And without doing that, in fact, in Genesis, I believe, 17, it states that if that's not done to a man-child, he is out. He's out. So it was a real big deal to the Jewish people. So now you have Paul coming on scene saying, listen, that doesn't matter anymore. So in, on one aspect, you can sort of understand, but on the other aspect is they missed the understanding of all about Christ. They missed that important piece of the redemptive story. And Paul says they're adding all these other things in. They're bringing all the other stuff. And so again, being very careful with that and understanding that it's a condition of what I can do to obtain the grace of God. It's what I'm going to do in order so that I look more righteous in front of the people. And again, it's nothing more than a man-made religion. And so when we refuse to do that, and verse 22 says, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. And again, understanding verse 22 sort of puts you in the realization of it's a regulation of self-made religion has a certain appearance. And we know in 2 Timothy, Paul told Timothy that in the end times there'll be a form of godliness, but the power of God will not be there. And that's exactly what this does. You see, we can make ourselves look really religious. We can make ourselves look good. And God is saying, listen, through Paul to those in Colossae and also to us today, it's not about how good you look. It's how much Christ they see in you. And so one of the things I had to do, again, going through the chaplaincy and stuff, and one of the papers, you have to walk like a chaplain. And I thought that was interesting. How do you walk like a chaplain? And so my biggest struggle right now with this whole schooling thing I'm going through a little bit and is they're having me distinguish between a chaplain and a pastor. And so many times I'm too much of a pastor. I'm not looking like a chaplain. And I'm like, okay, what's that mean? Well, you're acting like a pastor because you're sharing too much of God. I'm like, oh, okay, so what's a chaplain look like? A chaplain, you're supposed to just comfort them where they're at, how they are, what they believe, and let it go. I might like say, well, I'm going to be a pastor. I'll be a pastor in your chaplain role, but I will not be a chaplain in my pastor role. You see, the difference to me is all about what Paul is teaching. We can look the part. We can give comfort to people without Christ. We can comfort somebody. We can give any type of, but without the type, it's only a band-aid effect. Every one of these things we've studied through the legalism, the mysticism, Gnosticism, and now this self-denial, all of them are band-aids. It's man's way of saying, I have the ability to look righteous, but I don't have the ability to be righteous. And so we need to deny more. We need to deny self more. We need to try to do more things. And it's a spiral that doesn't work. It appears to have some type of wisdom, but it's not. We look at going back even in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul addressed that in chapter 1. We're praying that you have his will, his knowledge, his wisdom, not yours. And I'm going to tell you, that message will never get old as long as you and I continue to live this side of heaven. Man has constantly tried to put his understanding and his spin on what only God can do. The sensual indulgence, basically, the flesh, and we understand what the flesh is. We're doing a study on Wednesday night talking about the spirit. The spirit of our lives is where God thinks. It's where his emotions are, and it's where his wisdom is. It's where all the things that God is in our spirit. Our flesh is where we, that's where we live, our will, our mind, our emotions. And so Paul is trying to address that and saying, listen, you've died to Christ, right? Therefore, your will, your emotions, your way of thinking ought to be done. It's all about what God thinks, what God's emotions are, and how God wants to live in your life. So to me, the only thing that you can do, and this is where I sort of pulled off this, I said, you know, this is kind of good, because we do need to be a self-denial person, right? We do need to deny self. Paul says he dies daily. We need to deny us, not so that we look righteous, but so that Christ can be seen through us more and more. And you see how close in parameter those two are. And so when Paul, again, addresses this, I think it's interesting, desiring or denying the body. In verse 23, it says, which things have we need? Indeed, a show of wisdom in all will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in our honor to satisfy of the flesh. Paul says, yeah, we got to do those things. We have to deny. We have to be able to go through life without wanting the things that God does not want us to have. And the importance of that is in my life, and I trust in your life, as we look at this and as Paul's beginning to teach, because when we understand through this chapter, we're going to get into chapter 3, talks about the inner spiritual life, talks about the life of Christ in us, what that looks like and how that is. But what Paul is saying prior to chapter 3 is that you first need to learn how to deny your old man. You first need to know how to deny the flesh, the desires of this world. First John says that if the love of God is in you, then the love of the world will not be. If the love of the world is in you, then the love of God is not in you. But yet there's too many walking that middle road. There's too many going down the center of that road and trying to say, you know, I can have it both, right? I can have both ways. And, you know, that only works in a Burger King commercial. You remember the day? Special orders don't upset us. Order it your way. And we live in a culture that simply says, I can have everything my way, including my God. And that's nowhere near what God intended for you and for me. And I'm going to tell you, this is something to me that means a lot, because it is the setting the stage to going into the next chapter. If Christ is going to live in me and my spiritual inner life is going to be seen and they want to see Christ in my life, I've got to learn to get rid of that old man. I've got to learn to deny. And it's not going to come by doing the law. It's not going to become by how much I know about God, the Gnosticism. It's not going to come by how I can self-deny myself. The only way that I'm going to get rid of that old man is simply surrender everything that I am, everything that I have to my God. The more we empty ourselves, the more Christ has room to do some great and amazing things in our life. And folks, that's what the world needs. That's what they want to see. They want to see the real. They want to see the greatness. They want to see the God of all gods. And they're only going to see that when we get out of the way. So, this goes against my better judgment, but we're going to quit a little early tonight because we're running low real quick. But I want to challenge you, when you go into this new work week, you wake up tomorrow, you put your feet on the floor, thank God for another day he's given you that you probably don't deserve. Thank God that he's given you a day that has opportunities in it. But then ask God, God, empty me today. Empty my desires. Empty my will. Empty my emotions. Empty my way of thinking. Because God, I want your way. I want what you think. I want your emotions. I want to love the unlovable. I want to be there for people. I want to be what you are. And I want them to see you in me. Because when we do that in the beginning of our day, I'm kind of thinking our day is going to go a little better. I'm kind of thinking we're going to be used by God in some pretty phenomenal ways. And to me, that is very exciting. Because if God is done with us, you're not going to come to Sunday service next week, okay? Because if God's done with you, you won't be here. as long as God gives us breath. We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are this evening, and God, I pray, I just thank you for holding on to my voice so that I can share some of your word tonight. And God, I pray as we think and ponder on the truth of what we were learning and what Paul is teaching here in this text is preparing us for understanding that you in us, the spiritual side of our lives, as we dive into chapter 3 next week. And God, I pray as we do wake up in tomorrow into a new work week that we really seek out you. We deny ourselves of the things that we may want. We deny ourselves of how we think things should go. And God, that we just simply, as we shared this morning, we ask you, God, what's on your heart today? Share with me what is on your heart so that I may share that with many people around me. And God, we uplift you, we thank you, and we praise you. In your son's name, amen.